Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Okay, our next item tonight is a discussion of a concept that we're bringing to you on abandoned and vacant property registration program. Just some background on this. Communities around Florida have undertaken this type of program because they understand the cost associated with an empty storefront or a vacant piece of property. And there was a study done by Donovan Ripkema of Place Economics, who calculated that one empty storefront in a downtown urban area costs the community approximately $400,000 a year.
Okay, now I know if you're a fan of the Days of Our Milton cereal that you well, cereal episodes like they describe a TV show in the old days. This doesn't sound like a typical Days of Our Milton drama. But what do I always tell you when it comes to Milton?
Oh, it's coming. Stand by.
Trust me. Trust me. And in this case, it's not going to be the typical bickering, yelling back and forth, making fun of people's weight, whatever, arguing that they're not legitimate, you know, commentators because they never got elected to city council or whatever. I mean, the stuff that happens, honestly. This is more of a, if you actually understand what they're doing, then... Oh, my God. This is amazing. Okay. So Ed Spears, who's the city manager, is explaining this vacant and abandoned property problem that they're trying to solve, a problem that all municipalities deal with, all counties deal with, you know, an abandoned building that looks bad and sits there like an eyesore, like the medical complex, the medical building up on Palafox, you know, just as an example. But everybody's got these buildings, and what do you do with them? And one problem is that they cost you a lot of money. You know, it's missed revenue, it's lost opportunity, you're not making your property tax, all of the things that don't come out of it. Plus, sometimes you have to actually spend money on, you know, remediation, code enforcement kind of stuff. So Stephen Prestestater, who is the economic development director for Milton and a good guy.
This is an active program that is working in communities and helping them to be able to turn their communities around. At the CIB, one of the biggest requests that our CIB board has asked of me is, how can we incentivize these businesses, these vacant spaces in our community, to either redevelop, to sell the properties, to no longer be vacant, to be contributing members of our society?
What can we do to incentivize? That's going to be your key word for the day. Incentivize these buildings, these owners, to do something to make, you know, the community better.
What we have here, though, is that despite this progress, many vacant and deteriorating structures remain, creating barriers to continued growth. These properties often remain unmaintained for extended periods of time. They become targets for vandalism and unauthorized entry. They create safety hazards adjacent to properties in public. And they suppress nearby property values and redevelopment potential.
All true. You know, an empty building is a vandalism target, is a homeless go sleep in it, could be a fire hazard. It keeps property values down. If you're the neighboring business, nobody likes to see, you know, like think about in your neighborhood. Okay, if a family moves out of your next-door neighbor's house, or your next-door neighbors move away, and they don't sell the house and nobody's living in it, is that good for you? No. I mean, as the lot starts to be into disrepair and, the lawn isn't kept up and things overgrow, and, you know, everybody suffers as a result of this, right? That's the problem we're dealing with. It's a real problem, okay? And, you know, what do you do about it? Well, we've come forward with government solves. John, generally speaking, when I say government solves, you say, we'll see. Yeah. Show me the money.
The new policy that now makes it to where we are going to require property owners to register their properties, whether it be abandoned or vacated property. But we're asking those properties to come and register. And that registration will have a fee associated to it. That's a compounding fee. We'll escalate every year. The rate will go up. The longer it stays vacant or abandoned, the higher the price will become every year.
All you need to do is register the property. And then
pay a fee. And then pay more of a fee in subsequent years as you do not do the right thing. Now,
look, before I go too much further, Stephen Prestesator is a great guy. He's a smart guy. He's a fan of the show. You know, these are good people. Okay, Ed Spears, smart guy, great guy, capable leader. Oh, my God, with the city council, which, you know, whatever. Let's move on. Everybody involved in this is trying to do good things. They're trying to solve a genuine problem, which is the problem of vacant and abandoned buildings in an urban area. A real problem that everybody struggles with. However, the method of solving the problem matters. Right? The method of solving the problem matters. And their method is going to be to create a vacant building, vacant property registry. That if you have a property that's vacant 90 days, you have to pay $150 is the proposed level one fee for the first year, then $250 for the second year, $500 for the third year. And you know some of these properties are going to be vacant a long time. As you know, some properties have been vacant a long time. $500 a year, then $1,000, then $2,000, then $4,000 for year six and plus. So if you own a building that's not being used, occupied, now that's true whether it's a house or whether it's a business, it doesn't matter, $4,000 a year to continue to fail to be productive, plus being on the registry. Why? Well, and there's a couple of other provisions, you know, things like once you register the property, you know, you're going to have the doors and windows secured from trespassing. You have to keep it clean and mowed and free of debris or graffiti, remedy standing water, have a visible sign with contact information, and so forth. Okay, so as an outcome, you know, they're trying, and the goal is what? That people don't pay the fee. The goal is that they, oh, I don't want to pay that. I'll sell the building. Or I'll productively develop it. I'll put it in place. And there are buildings that they've got there that are, I mean, have been this way for a decade or more. The comic book store, famously in Milton, doesn't exist. You drive through Milton, you're like, oh, comic store. And then you're like, wait, that doesn't look like there's anything going on there. That's right. It's non-functioning for a long time.
That comic book store is a prime example. You don't know how many times children come through our community and saying, I want to go in there. How many adults like Jacob Hollerhead over there want to go in there on a regular basis? And he would normally get yelled at, actually, for doing so. But that property is vacant and abandoned. It's not open for anyone anymore. It's just storage. And right now, if there were a fire to take place in that structure, the fire chief has no clue of the conditions of that building from a public safety standpoint. He has fear of sending his team in there if there is a fire because he has no clue what that condition will be for his men. And now women.
Right, because you've got a dangerous building that's not being maintained. What's going on inside? Nobody knows. Even if nobody breaks in to create a problem, which, you know, does happen often enough, the building itself is not safe, and buildings are next to other buildings, right? And if one building is not maintained and that catches fire, then can be everybody's at risk, right? So what keeps people from developing them or from selling them? Well, a lot of times because they think it's worth a lot and the market doesn't think it's worth that much. And so they don't want to sell, a very typical thing when people don't want to sell a thing, right? Give me $10,000 for this old burned out Corvette husk that I've got sitting in my lawn. Not worth it. You know, well, maybe it will be one day, but it's not yet. Okay. So you don't want to lower the price. They don't want to raise the price. No deal happens. Same thing with a building, right? You think it's worth a lot. They don't think it is. So nothing happens.
This fee will incentivize them to realize that either you need to get off and start moving with this property or sell it. Because many of the individuals in our community do seem to believe, and I'm not going to say it's not right or wrong for a property owner to have this feeling about your personal property, but not every property is worth $1 million. And we may think it is because of its current condition, or maybe its proximity to the river or to downtown or to Highway 90, or maybe it holds a nostalgic feel or value to us, and we believe that it's worth so much more than it really is. But a fair market value will tell you that it is not. If it has been on the market for 5 or 10 years and it's not moving, then maybe it's not fair market or it's not the value you truly believe it is.
So all of this is true. Everything they're saying is valid. But if you're a property owner in downtown, in Milton, Santa Rosa County. And you've got a building sitting there that you don't want to develop and don't want to sell. And the government comes along and says, we're going to create a registry of these buildings. We're going to start fining you. The amount is pretty low. $150 the first year, $250, $500, $1,000, $2,000, $4,000. It's going to escalate to strongly incentivize you towards a certain outcome. John, you live in Milton. How does the average business owner in Milton receive this gentle, kindly nuzzle from the government?
Yeah, they're not going to receive it very well.
It's gonna be a bleep storm. People are gonna be livid. It's bad enough to try to tell a business what to do and what not to do, right? Because it's their business. And now you're wanting to tell them you're gonna have to pay to not use this building. I just think not everybody's gonna go along well with this plan. So here's what's amazing. This, to me, sounds an awful lot like gentle, sweet, sugary socialism. The benevolent blessing of the mother eagle helping the little eaglet chicks either learn to fly or plummet to their deaths, whatever. But as long as they're out of the nest, you know, as long as they're being productive members of the community, then it's all good because we know better than they do what to do with their property. Because it's not really their property. It's our city. You starting to smell where I'm going with this? Again, let me emphasize. These are all good people trying to do a good thing. The question is, can good people with the intent to do a good thing still wind up severely violating people's property rights in the process of doing it? And the answer is, yeah, buddy. And that's the problem here. Now, Marilyn Farrow, city councilwoman, she first raises the question, well, what about the elderly who have medical issues and they're out of or displaced from their place for a long time and should be sweet? And I don't think that's a problem because, you know, homestead is covered. It's actually an exemption. You can't foreclose on a homestead property. Like, if they don't pay their fines and then you put a lien and they don't pay the lien, and then eventually, you know, the city can do nothing except just keep accumulating fines. Although that is its own form of problem, right? You're going to keep accumulating these liens on people. And the goal is not to get people out. The goal is not to close down things or get them out. The goal is to get them to start the business, do something productive with it, generate revenue, employ people, pay better taxes because the value goes up, and to improve the area or to sell. I mean, the goal is genuinely a good one. Let's not let this stuff sit here and blight up the neighborhood. Marilyn Farrow also raises a concern I have as well. I think this is a fair concern. She says, I have a concern on the way this could be misdone. I'm also concerned that these numbers aren't motivational enough.
I'm concerned that the registration fees that are suggested might be a little too low. I think there might need to be a bigger incentive for property owners to sell their properties, put them on the market, or put them into proper use.
Yes, the punishment is not strong enough. We must use more pressure. You know, but she's right. If you're a business owner and you've got $400,000, probably these days a million. Let's say you got a $500,000 building downtown. Is $150 motivate you to do anything? $250? I mean, maybe once you get to like $1,000 a year, $2,000 a year. You know, maybe you start to be like, wow, that matters. But at $150, you can eat your letter, you know. But they're not going to respond well to having to pay extra. But it doesn't really get them off the pot, right? Okay, to do something. So then, and I want to give credit here, Robert Leake, city council member Robert Leake, steps up. And he's really the only person, other than a former city council member, Sherry Sebastio, who's just there in the public, he's the only one who really raises any concerns about this. And he even acknowledges he's super torn. He's very 50-50, even in his own house. Like, his wife loves it and he hates it. You know, so this is where they're at.
wanting the downtown to thrive and the city of Milton to thrive, you know, I've said it for a few years now. I wish people would sell vacant properties. I wish they would allow somebody to do something with them. But on the other hand, I have found it difficult. I have talked to people about, you know, a fee structure where charging them something for vacant property, and I find it hard to get behind that.
Yeah. The first one expressing any reluctance at this program of gentle socialism, slow eminent domain, right? Because if it takes years before they pay enough money that it matters to them, and if they won't pay that, eventually you lien them and you foreclose their property. That's eminent domain slow style, right?
I get why it would be needed, you know, a fee, but it's being called an incentive. You know, we're just kind of charging them, but giving them, you know, a nudge to sell it. But, you know, I want to see every building full, but I don't see charging the property owner. I don't know. It's I'm kind of 50-50 there, but, sure. You know, I just don't know if I can get behind that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have 7.5 city council members in favor of this, because he's half and half. He's I completely agree with the goals of this program. I also think that the fee structure is not enough to accomplish the goals. But you just can't go tell people what to do with their property and tax them if they won't do what you want to do with their property. That's the difference between not America and America, in my opinion. But we'll come back to this, because this is Act 1. This is definitely Act 1. 5:26 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft.
Oh, no.
That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference. Like setting your AC. Every degree you raise it can save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
Let me introduce you to Social Mirror. This is when we take the best content from your social media platform and deliver it to the phones, tablets, and computers of your target audience, where they live or wherever they go on the internet. You can add a call to action that sends people to your website or opens up their phone app with your phone number on it or gives them directions to find you. All of this comes with reporting to show how many people saw the ad and reacted to it.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
Why'd I go to the doctor? Working on the farm, my heart kept skipping a beat. I didn't think much of it, but my daughters made me get checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Who's scruffy-looking?
Happy Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you all day. We'll play some clips from the original series, the only one that really matters. 529 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Congratulations to the newly winged rotary aviators at NES Whiting Field. From Training Air Wing 5, you had about 20 by my count because you have the picture. They didn't actually put it in the post, but if you take the picture, you count them up, you got 26. And then if you remove the people who have lots and lots of stuff in their chest already and obviously are far too aged in appearance to have been beginning their aviator career in this picture, I'd say around 20, 22, something like that. So that's fantastic. 37,700 naval designation numbers have been assigned since Whiting has started producing rotary-winged warfighters. They're going to go to their fleet replacement squadrons and learn their fleet aircraft, which helicopter they're going to learn after this, because the Whiting trains every single one of your Coast Guard, Navy, and Marine aviators, and you have a bunch of different uniforms represented in this particular category. We're hoping tonight for Keela Richardson, of course, to advance the top three, and then if she does, we'll have the big concert on Wednesday, and if we don't, a lot of people will have gotten a lot of tickets for nothing, but I wouldn't think that's all going to happen on Wednesday evening, plus the parade.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop of the U.S. military stepping in. It's called Project Freedom, protecting U.S. ships and other ships in the dangerous Strait of Hormuz. President Trump describes it as a humanitarian issue. Mission posting on Truth Social.
For the good of Iran, the Middle East, and the United States, we have told these countries that we will guide their ships safely out of these restricted waterways so that they can freely and ably get on with their business. The ship movement is merely meant to free up people, companies, and countries that have done absolutely nothing wrong. They are victims of circumstance.
That's Fox's Doug Luzada reporting a mass shooting Sunday night in Edmond, Oklahoma, sends at least a dozen people to the hospital.
We are working extremely hard to find these suspects.
That's Edmond Police spokesperson Emily Ward. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It's 53 degrees right now. We've got clear skies this morning. We'll get a full look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson from Channel 3, and that's going to be up in just a few minutes. As of this morning, regular public access has been restored for NAS Pensacola. The installation announcing on Friday that the weekend-only visitor restriction was lifted. Visitors can now go to public locations such as the National Naval Aviation Museum and the Lighthouse 7 days a week from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Visitors do have to go through the West Gate on Blue Angel Parkway, and you'll need a valid real ID or passport to get on board. An 18-year-old is facing an attempted homicide charge after a stabbing at a Pensacola apartment complex. Escambia County Sheriff's Office deputies say Isaiah Lafette stabbed a man in the back and the head with a kitchen knife at the Moorings Apartments on Old Spanish Trail Road. The victim and his wife had gone to the unit to talk about a bullying incident involving their kids. Deputies say Lafette confronted the man. The conversation turned violent. Lafette fled the scene but was tracked down later that evening at the same complex. He has now been booked into the Escambia County Jail and is being held without bond. Well, two teenagers were rescued near Fort Morgan after a strong current pushed them offshore on a float on Saturday. Baldwin County deputies deployed a newly acquired remote-controlled rescue device. It's called U-Safe. And they were able to use that to reach those teens quickly without deputies having to get in the water at all. Both teenagers were brought safely back to shore. Officials say the technology is a big step forward for beach safety. They are urging beachgoers to always check current conditions before they enter the Gulf. The Catholic Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee has now opened a new tiny home community on West Garden Street. Their goal is to keep low-income seniors off the streets. Trinity Village features 9 fully equipped tiny homes, just under 300 square feet each. The rent for those is set at $500 a month, including utilities. The diocese says so far more than 70 people have already applied for the 9 units. Bishop William Wax says the project took 2 years to develop on diocese-owned land and was funded entirely through private donations. It's 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at some lovely weather today, mostly clear skies as you head through that afternoon. Temperatures warming up near 79 degrees for your high and overnight dropping near 59 degrees. Heading into Tuesday, another lovely, mostly sunny sky day, high near 79 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Going into Wednesday, a few more clouds through the area, 30% chance of some stray sprinkles with a high near 83 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
We've got 53 degrees with clear skies. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. GameStop has made a non-binding takeover proposal for eBay, offering $125 per share. GameStop's leadership said they plan to turn the e-commerce company into a rival to Amazon. GameStop had a market value of $12 billion, while eBay was much larger at around $46 billion. Shares of SK Hynix extended gains to 12% this morning after big U.S. tech firms last week reported robust earnings and reaffirmed their investment plans for artificial intelligence data centers. SK Hynix outperformed bigger rival Samsung Electronics, which had been weighed down by the risk of a potential strike by unionized workers, demanding a bigger share of the company's AI-driven profits. Anthropic is finalizing a roughly $1.5 billion joint venture with Blackstone, Goldman Sachs, and a handful of other Wall Street firms to sell artificial intelligence tools to private equity-backed companies. The Wall Street Journal reports Anthropic, Blackstone, and Hellman & Friedman are anchoring the deal. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least, is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing ABC at the Fish House, featuring new spring menus at Jackson's and Angelina's, celebrate Mother's Day at Great Southern, celebrate Juneteenth at Five Sisters, and the 12th Annual Craft Beer Festival at the Fish House. All Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on a farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor.
She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Everybody knows we got some of the richest soil in the country right here in the north end of the county. And I'm going to tag off of what I'm going to bring dead on the name. But anyhow, eat more peanuts. If you eat them, if you eat M&M's, Shay greatly appreciates it, because that's where most of your peanuts come from, on M&M's.
I love that Bobby Burkett, county commissioner in Santa Rosa County, when he could not remember Ryan Jenkins' name, at least he knew he's the eat more peanuts guy. Ryan, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, checks in with us about once a month to help us know what's going on with the farming community. Hey, Ryan, Mr. Eat More Peanuts, welcome back, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to be known for something, right?
Something, yeah.
Hey, so let's start with the big stuff. We have been in a historically atrocious drought. It doesn't seem to me like we have even yet got the kind of the significant amount of rain that you talked last time about us needing. You know, we're getting a half inch here and three quarters of an inch there, but that's not what you need. Where are we at, and have you been able to get your crops in the ground?
We have not. You know, we were able to sneak our corn in a month and a half ago. So it's up, and it's just kind of sitting there. It's growing a little bit, but it's kind of sitting there. But our peanuts and cotton and soybeans, we're on hold and not really able to do much field operations just because it's so dry we can't get.
Anyway, you were saying you haven't been able to get the crops in the ground because it's so dry.
That is correct. It's so dry, we're not able to get in the field and really do a whole lot of work. We can't get our equipment into the ground.
How far behind are you at this point?
We're not terrible far behind. We probably would have started about a week ago, but the deal is we're just scared. You know, we've only got a short window of time. We've pretty much got to be done planting by the end of May. And you know, if you miss that, you're kind of out on some of these crops, on the peanuts. It gets late after that. So we're worried. You know, everybody I talk to, I have a lot of friends across the peanut belt and the cotton growing belt, and pretty much everybody I talk to is in the same boat. Some are even in worse shape than we are.
Okay, so you're maybe a week behind, but you're worried about the future because if you don't get it into the window, you're not going to be able to get it out. We also recently talked about fertilizer prices, and we talked about the cost of diesel, both of which are affected by the Iran war because of shipping and oil prices. How are you doing there?
Terrible. They're still going up. We got a call yesterday morning saying, hey, if you want to buy diesel, it's fixing to go up 25 more cents today. So we bought some more diesel, and I mean, it's still going up. So the year's not starting off so hot, but maybe it'll get better. God usually puts a way in there that we don't see. So
what about on the back end? I mean, I know a lot of your struggle is input cost, but what about on the back end, your commodities prices? How are they looking?
Well, the peanut price, we signed a contract, which was very low, but at least it was a contract. So it'll be about a break even price. You have to make a really good crop to make any money with it, but could be worse. And then our cotton, believe it or not, you know, when we were talking a month or two ago, it was in the mid-60s, and it has really rallied here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, this is one of the challenges, is as the prices of different commodities shift. And, of course, what cotton needs, once you get it in the ground and growing, is it needs that intense heat for a long time during the summer. You have to have so many days at so much heat in order to make it work. Ryan, I was just explaining to them that, you know, when the cotton, you have to have it in the ground for so long under so much heat in order for it to get to the production. But it's a good news, it sounds like. The price of cotton is up, at least as of today.
Yes, over 83 cents. So we're getting close to 20 cent increase in the last couple of months. And I think it's because of the oil prices being so high. You know, polyester is our big competitor. It's cotton's big competitor. So it takes a lot of oil to make polyester.
Interesting. The combat between those two guys. Yeah, I've never thought about it. That's why I love talking to you, because I always learn such fascinating things about how that will affect the price of, you know, cotton, for example, because that is your competitor. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins, our good friend, our farmer up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, do we know anything yet about the farm bill that passed the House yesterday? Have you had a chance to look at that? I know it's still pending the Senate, but do we know anything?
I've looked a little, but no, I don't know, because I know I don't put a lot of whatever into it until it's done.
I got you.
They'll change it when they get it in the Senate. But we are, all in all, it looks like a good bill. It looks like something that'll help us out. There's a million different things in there. You know, it would take it all day to talk about. But
I bet.
All in all, it's something that's wanted and needed, and we're excited if we can get it passed.
You had Jay Collins came to town, right, and talked to the farmers a couple weeks ago?
He did. I was very impressed. I'd never met him or really followed him. He wanted to come and set up a meeting with a farmer, so we put that together. And he has a really unique story in a lot of ways. I mean, he has a lot of unique stories.
Yeah, he does.
He does have a farming background. You know, his family were big farmers, and they ended up losing the farm. So he understands, you know, how serious things are. And I don't know. I connected with him on the farming part of things. So it was a good, very good visit.
You guys had a farm-to-table event recently?
The Jay Chamber of Commerce. This was our second annual farm-to-table event. So it's a very cool deal. You know, every single thing that we eat there is grown here. So the chamber will start now collecting, you know, harvesting foods and stuff. Everything's grown here local. Everything that we eat is grown here local. We hire a chef to come in on site and cook. We sold 300 tickets to it this year and had a waiting list. People loved it. But it's just something I think your listeners would like to know about look forward to for next year. But it's a very good event. Brings a lot of awareness to local agriculture. Of course, it's a fundraising event for the chamber. It's just a good deal all the way around. A lot of good fellowship, a lot of talking about ag. You know, it might be the one time that some of those people ever hear about some of this stuff or think about some of it.
Right.
Or think that what they're eating comes from somewhere like this. So it was a good deal, something that we're very proud of.
You always like to end with a farm fact or something like that. Do you have something for me this week?
It is. We were talking about the price of cotton going up being tied to the price of oil going up.
Which I thought was a great insight, by the way. I did not know that. Go ahead.
So polyester is our biggest competitor. You know, man-made fibers is cotton's competitor. So it takes about 170 gallons of crude oil, 170 gallons of crude oil to make 500 pounds of polyester. So something that's equivalent to one bale of cotton takes 170 gallons of crude.
Wow, that is an enormous number. Well, Ryan Jenkins, excellent work today accommodating our phone issues. I super appreciate you, sir, and certainly appreciate what you do for us growing our food and putting clothes on my kids' backs. And I always like to think of you as the Eat More Peanuts guy. And that was it. We had really, really bad phone issues on Friday when we were doing that interview. I know you didn't hear it much because I edited very aggressively, but he was such a trooper getting through it. 547 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And that's why I love talking to Ryan, because that was like two insights I had never thought much about. Is, you know, one was that polyester is, you know, the competitor, of course, that it's based on petroleum products. What was the other one? It was from the beginning of the interview, and all of a sudden it escapes my mind. But, you know, that's why I love talking to him, because, you know, you learn things all the time. And, yes, we did have rain over the weekend. How much difference a couple of inches if they got that in Jay, I do not know yet. But, you know, we'll obviously keep up with him and find out. Also, we have a I don't know whether to call this a developing story or not, because Iran is nothing if not completely unreliable as a source of information. Iran is claiming to have hit a warship with a couple of missiles. Their Fars News agency is claiming this. Our agencies are denying that it happened. So, you know, I think this might be the fifth time they've destroyed that ship. You know how, you know, they said they hit an aircraft carrier, and they said, I mean, like, they say all kinds of crazy things because they're liars. I mean, essentially, if you're a terrorist or a terror-sponsoring state, lying is kind of like low-grade sin, right? That doesn't have lying. Sure, of course, obviously. I mean, we're willing to be terrorists. Of course we'll lie. So is it true? Is it not? I don't know. I think it's unlikely. But, you know, just so you know, it's kind of a developing rumor, okay, at this point. 549 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Come on. start.
Looking for reliable auto repairs without breaking the bank?
Well, yeah.
At Affordable Automotive, we keep your car and your budget running smooth.
That's more like it.
Hi, I'm Kenny with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. My father started this business over 30 years ago, and we continue to proudly serve the Gulf Coast with trusted local service. Whether you're a first-time or returning customer, we inspect each vehicle like it's our own. From oil changes, engine replacements, and diagnostics, our certified techs do it right the first time. Fast, honest, and fair, just like auto service should be. So if your car needs care, bring it to Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze, a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo. Visit us at AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com and schedule your appointment today. That's AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com. Affordable Automotive, quality you can afford.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
We asked people we spoke with, what does it take to keep getting better with age?
Keep growing.
Remember where you came from. It's the foundation of who you are.
Show up for others. Learn something new.
Stay connected.
That's been our approach at Pennair for 90 years. Staying connected, continuing to grow, and never losing sight of who we serve. Pennair Credit Union, 90 years strong.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates Andrew McKay on being the only broadcaster to make Florida's 50 over 50 list for 2026. For more than a decade, Andrew has kept Escambia and Santa Rosa counties informed, covering local meetings, interviewing officials, and breaking down big stories that matter. He takes pride in keeping the community informed and making sense of the headlines that shape our daily lives. It's a well-earned honor for a voice our community trusts every morning. Congratulations, Andrew, from News Radio 92.3.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
I suggest a new strategy, Artu. Let the Wookiee win.
Upsetting a droid. It's because droids don't rip people's arms out of their sockets when they lose. I mean, not that I've seen the movie more than once.
Maybe just once.
Yeah, I can tell. Star Wars is my most seen movie ever. Do you have a most seen movie, John, that you've seen the most times? Is it Star Wars?
Star Wars is Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, Star Wars and Smokey and the Bandit?
Yeah.
Which one's more for you?
Smokey and the Bandit.
Give me a number. Honest. Give me a rough ballpark.
Oh, gosh.
10, 20, 30? 100?
20 times, 10 yeah. times, somewhere. I mean, I'll never outmatch you, so I'll never try to compete with that.
I don't know. I literally don't know how many times I've seen Star Wars. Probably not 100, but...
See, that's why I said I'm
definitely
not definitely
more than 50.
I know better.
So, yeah, you know. Happy Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. And somebody text me back. And also with thee. I love that. That's great. Oh, man. The United States is moving 5,000 troops out of Germany over the next 6 to 12 months. This is an announcement that came from the administration, Friday, I think? Anyway, we have about 33,000, something like that, is how many we actually have there. So this is, you know, I mean, okay. It's not that. It's 14%. It's a seventh. Okay. It's significant because, you know, President Trump has rumbled about how he doesn't like NATO and doesn't think the Europeans are doing enough. And, of course, in this war, they have not really supported us, not very much, if at all, sometimes opposed, like Spain. And, you know, I'll kick them out of NATO. Well, there's not really a provision for that, so good luck. But, yeah, a gentle withdrawal of American presence. And, of course, we have lots of people in Germany and lots of people throughout the continent. What's the number? The total number is over 100,000 U.S. troops are stationed in Europe. I forget the exact number. I got it here somewhere. 80 to 100,000 in various rotations all around Europe. In Germany, you know, of course, we have that's the place where you go for, like Rammstein, you go there if you get, you know, injured. It's common, and there's other things that we have, but, you know, we'll see again with a lot of this stuff. Oh, the bill in front of Governor DeSantis to allow you to round up or down to the nearest nickel if you're retail and somebody's buying in cash. It's kind of an interesting bill. It's actually Don Gates was the sponsor in the Senate of this bill. And it's funny to me that you have to make legislation to allow this. It seems to me like, I don't know if you're, I mean, how would this play out if it hadn't been made a law? You go to the Dollar Tree, you know, and they say that'll be what is it? It's not even a dollar anymore, right? It's like $1.35 or something.
Dollar anymore.
It's like $1.35, yeah. I think. It's been a
or more.
Yeah, and things can be more. But okay, so that'll be $1.46. Well, I don't have a penny. Make it $1.50. You know, or make it $1.45. I mean, how does this need legislation? The fact that we can't seem to solve this at the personal level, how many times does it happen? I mean, it probably happens a fair amount at the Dollar Tree. But, okay, so penny here, penny there. You know, so it's 6 and 7s go down, 6, 7. And, you know, 8, 9 goes up and 0s and 5s stay and 1s and 2s goes down and 3 and 4s. It's only if you pay cash. It's optional. At first when I was reading the bill, I thought, oh, this sounds mandatory. That's weird, but it's optional. The business can or cannot collect, and I suppose on an individual basis, so they can decide what to do. But you're talking about as much as 2 pennies one way or the other. Oh, and you're not allowed to round on, like, credit card transactions. It's only cash transactions. So I don't – the bill doesn't bother me. The bill doesn't offend me. It's a fine bill. I just don't understand. A world in which you have to pass the legislation seems weird to me. It seems like the kind of thing that could have just been done, but is not.
Do you think that they passed or, you know, passed it because, you know, let's go back to the example, 44 and the company rounds up.
Yep. Yeah. We're probably, well, they're screwing me out of my penny.
43 rounds up.
Yeah. And that's probably what it is, or the convenience store. I'm trying to think of places where people are more likely to buy
and
smaller items and maybe use cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, how dare you? Well, I mean, you could just put up a thing on the door that says we don't have pennies, so we round up or down this way. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it had to be a law, but there's no problem with the law, in my opinion. There's no downside to the law, in my opinion. Once you don't have pennies anymore, it's just, you know, here we are. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, did you see the viral video of Marco Rubio over the weekend? This is kind of funny. Marco Rubio is at a wedding reception, and the video is of him. It's kind of him. It is of him, but it's of the reception generally, but it's of the DJ area. And he's standing behind the DJ area, you know, looks like, I mean, he's holding up headphones to his head, so he's listening. Here's the music. People are dancing. It's a wedding. And then it kind of pans to the right, and it looks at all the people dancing. Comes back to Marco. He's listening to the headphones. Pans again. And then eventually, you know, you're like, why am I watching this video or listening to the long version on the radio? Okay, we'll get there. Eventually, it kind of is seeing all the people getting ready for the drop in the song. And it pans back. And there's Marco. Ready? Now he's dancing hard. Like, he's got hand weight. You know, the old hand pump thing where you up and down, you know. So the Secretary of State is able to dance, which doesn't come as any surprise to me, knowing Marco. It just seems like, okay. So suddenly he's the cool kid in the group, I guess. It's a weird place we're at when the Secretary of State dancing at a wedding party to what, techno, I guess you'd call it in my day. I don't know. We call it EDM nowadays. That's the news. Well, it is. It was a fun video. Oh, we got a new Christian phone company is going to start. New cell phone network. They buy their time from, you know, other providers, obviously. And just like when you start up a phone company, you know, Mint Mobile, Ryan Reynolds started that up. I actually use Mint. And so the key to this Christian phone network is that they're going to block porn and LGBTQX4318 content. So anything.
Plus, minus.
Plus, minus, ampersand, yeah. Whatever.
And the square
yeah,
root.
Yeah, so it's going to be Jesus-centric, and the idea is your phone should be a safe place for you and your kids. You know, pastors complain about having porn problems. People complain about, you know, and they, like, can't get around it. And they, I guess they're going to, it's not clear to me, because you could block a whole website, you could block a page on a website, but, I mean, are they going to allow Instagram? Because, sure. You know.
Snapchat?
Yeah, your social media is, what's the word I want? Saturated with, maybe not, you know, X-rated content, but, like, hard R, R+, lurid content. We'll see. Stream it.